Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show this morning. Today, we're meeting with Lauren Johnson, who is the Vice President of Franchise Development for the Navis Franchise Opportunity. Navis is a commercial custom packaging and shipping franchise. They work with businesses to fulfill their ongoing shipping needs. They also specialize in difficult-to-ship items that are too big for a mail and parcel center, but too small for a moving truck. Navis ships internationally, and they're experts at packaging and shipping large, fragile, valuable items. And that's coming up in Segment 2 of Franchise Interviews. Our first segment today is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews, LLC. And Franchise Interviews gives you an up-close and behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys. And our monthly franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And don't forget to check out our new podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. And Don, welcome back to another edition of Franchise Interviews. How's your week going, my friend?
Good, Marty. Everything's fine. Busy.
Busy, back from vacation, right?
Right.
How did that go? How was vacation? It must have been nice up there.
Yeah, it's nice having a week off, just kind of, you know, a little different change of pace for a bit.
Right.
You know, a little bit of a drive up there. Go up to upstate New York.
Yeah.
It was nice, but, you know, I pay for it.
Sure you do. But well deserved, though, yeah. I mean, the climate must be nice up there this time of year, too, I imagine, you know, where it's cooler at night. And,
right.
You can kind of feel it happening here on the East Coast, you know, it is getting a little cooler at night, and we're finally able to shut the air conditioning, you know, which is nice.
Yeah, I've had, and we got lucky last week with the weather up there, and you're right, it's nice. My favorite time of the year is fall, and I like
yeah,
the cooler
same here.
Weather, so.
Absolutely. Well, that's fantastic. Well, it's a well-deserved vacation. So,
and coming up to the end of the summer already, you know. It's, just,
it's amazing, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Next week will be September. It's just,
right.
You say, where does the time go? I mean, here
yeah.
we are, Don. I mean, Connie asked me this morning. She goes, are you guys doing the show 2 years now? I mean, it's just,
yeah.
it seems like yesterday we started doing it, you know. And it,
right.
you know, turned into this big thing, but it's been great. Our last show, Don, we met with franchise consultant Tom Scarta. And Tom Scarta is a regular guy who left the 9-to-5 world, the promise of a pension and a gold watch to explore his desire to follow his dreams to become an entrepreneur. And that's exactly what he did, isn't it? I thought it was a great show. What were your thoughts on
Yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting, Marty, hearing Tom's story, how he mm-hmm. took the plunge, so to speak, and you know, invested in a franchise. There was Maui Wowie.
It was.
And he really had a lot of success. He really was smart about his location and became Franchisee of the Year, became an area developer
right.
for New York. And it was interesting how he just didn't want to settle for
mm-hmm.
being average, so to speak. And I guess his family had certain ideas and
mm-hmm.
goals for what they wanted him to do. But I guess he looked to just reach his highest potential. You know, he just has a lot of motivation.
He really does. He said he wanted to make, you know, he was talking about his pension of $40,000 a year, and he says that he wanted to make $40,000 a minute,
right.
you know, so you can see that he's extremely motivated. I mean, he had some location, too, didn't he? He had the Jacob Javits
right.
For his franchise. I said, I mean, talk about, you know, location, location, location. I mean, that
right.
was it.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, that's a great place to have a trade show, and so he did very well. You know, what I learned from that show, too, Don, is, you know, the franchising doesn't discriminate. You know, I mean, Tom was really someone who had no experience for the most part because he worked for the subway system, you know.
Right, yeah.
And, I mean, here he comes in, you know, he goes the franchise route and becomes extremely successful. So, you know, I that's one of the things that I do love about franchising. If you do follow the system, you know, whether you have a high school degree or you're a doctor, it doesn't matter, you know. I mean, you're going to be successful. So I thought it was an inspirational story. I'd love to even have him back in the future. And he talks about a lot of different things, like conquering fear and motivation
right.
and all that other stuff, which I think is very important.
Yeah.
It's all great stuff, you know. So I'd love to have him back on a future show and, you know, talk about all those things as well. But he also went the consultant route, too, didn't he?
Right, with Fran Choice. And I was just going to mention that. Himself going through the whole process And he even used a consultant himself, and then he became, currently he's a franchise consultant, so he knows the whole thought process and fears and, you know, a lot of what people go through as they're considering investing in a franchise. So.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and the franchise consultant he actually used was on our show. She actually has become a friend to our show, Carol Mercurio.
Right.
And she's wonderful. You know, she really knows her stuff. And so right. We've heard a lot of great success stories of people that have used franchise consultants, you know, fish window cleaning. I mean, there's been a dozen
right.
up to this point, you know, and they've done very well. So
yeah, I mean, you know, you and I have always been on the same page that, yeah, it's not mandatory, but it's something that
mm-hmm.
people should highly consider. Just saves a lot of time. So many franchise companies, so many industries, gets confusing. A lot of information. People might sometimes will just throw in the towel, and it gets to be too much. The consultant will fine tune your thinking process
exactly.
And your background, and they work only with solid franchises with a proven track record, and they'll go over every situation with you, and it just make the whole process easier.
Absolutely. And I know if you want more information on Tom, I think you can go to tomscarta.com. He has his own website with a lot of different services that he provides. So
right.
Great job, Tom. And again, we'll have him back on a future show. So what do we got going on today, Don, or over the next, what is it? I think we're booked for 4 months now.
Right. Well,
you don't have to read the whole schedule.
Right. Yeah. You know, we're excited about the whole rest of the year. And Lauren Johnson's on today, like you said.
That's great, yeah.
VP of Development at Navis Pack and Ship, a unique company and the type of stuff they ship. She'll go over all of that.
That's great.
You know, a lot of advantages with working with the Navis company. September 4th, we're meeting with Dr. Scott Shane. He has
That's
a
good.
Book out, The Illusions of Entrepreneurship.
He's a semi-celebrity. He's been getting a lot of press on this book. It's really an eye-opener as you're reading it. So, again, it's a little different from some shows we had in the past because we'll concentrate a lot more on entrepreneurship. But
right.
It's one of these books that... And, you know, at the end you say, wow, that's something. So
it looks like he focuses on challenging the myths that we hold about entrepreneurs in America, who they are, what they do, and how they succeed. So that's exciting. September 11th, Marty, meeting
mm-hmm.
with Postnet
okay.
franchise, Brian Spindell. September 18th, franchise called Baby Power. You know,
that's interesting.
Sarles.
I know my wife, Connie, and she's in a mom's club, Don, and
yeah.
they're all going to be listening in on that day. So we have to... do very well that particular day. Be prepared.
Imagine our women listenership will skyrocket.
It'll double,
nationwide,
right?
Yeah.
That's good.
And I don't know too much about that franchise. I guess she developed
mm-hmm.
and taught a progressive, developmentally appropriate gymnastic and musical parent-child play program for the local adult school. And
it's something different there that we haven't had on the show before. I'm surprised, you know. And again, even like Navis, we haven't had... you know, that type of franchise on the show yet. I'm surprised. So that's
right.
why I was looking, you know, forward to, you know, having Lauren on the show today.
At the end of September, on the 25th, meeting with Holly Shilliday from Snell and Wilmer, an attorney.
And she's from Kevin Hines' firm. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
That's fantastic. You know, again, talking about a lot of the legalities and things like that and franchising, and that's always important.
Always want to stay up to date on that, yeah.
Absolutely. All right, good. Well, here's a press release, Don, that I received from Jim Cohen from the New England Franchise Association. I think you might have heard of them before. The mission of the New England Franchise Association, promoting the responsible growth of franchising throughout New England by fostering positive communication, learning, and best practices. And let's see what we got here. It says, New England Franchise Association is pleased to present identifying and selecting high-performance franchisees. It's a panel discussion on awarding your franchise to the best possible candidate. You know, I mean, it's very difficult, isn't it, for the franchisor, you know, try to put yourself in their shoes or, you know, try to put yourself in, you know, Lauren's going to be on our show today. You know, how do you select the best franchisee? It can't be easy.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot that goes into it. It says, if you're interested in selecting the right franchisees, this panel can help you. It's important to look at franchisees' financial situation, as you do, business experience, and perform background checks, but assessing also personality types, behavior, skills, and management style are often overlooked, is what it says. Quite often, it's the individual behavior of the franchisee that indicates the likelihood of success or failure. So, you know, it doesn't always have to do with money and experience and things like that, as we were just talking about earlier. So kind
right.
of interesting. I said this panel will discuss how to choose candidates that resemble your most successful franchisees. And this is taking place Tuesday, September 16th, 5:30 to 9 o'clock at the Four Point Sheraton, and that's in Norwood, Massachusetts. And I think Jim is the Jim Cohen, who we've had on the show before, is the moderator for this event. So sounds very interesting. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make that one. But again, for our listeners, or you know, we have a lot of franchises that listen to the show as well, Don. That might be something that they do want to attend. You know,
right.
So just kind of interesting.
Yeah, and you know, the whole concept of this franchise association is interesting. We should try to get a complete list of these around the country.
There's a lot more of them now, isn't there? You know,
yeah.
Since you and I have been doing this, you know, and we've had a couple of announcements on our show up to this point, you know, talking about these things. So,
because franchising growing and evolving, more of those type of associations are going to be formed.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's another quick PR announcement, Don. This is in your area. It says Millville, New Jersey, just opened up a new Cartridge World franchise. It says Muhammad Haq has been awarded the Millville, New Jersey location. And
yeah.
This is his, it says this is his first business, so that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, so here in New Jersey, so I guess he's been working with Greg Carafello, who we have
mm-hmm.
on the show.
That's right, yeah, it mentions Greg's name on there, so
yeah.
That's fantastic. And I know you had some interesting articles this week. I have one that I'll, if we have time at the end, I'll kind of talk about.
Okay, well, here's something interesting a little bit real quick about a franchise. Pizza Fusion adopts organic restaurant certification.
That's a great story.
Certification. Just recently, Marty, Pizza Fusion recently announced their pursuit of independent third-party organic restaurant certification for all their restaurants upon receiving certification at their Fort Lauderdale, Florida location. Quality
right.
Insurance International, QAI, the third-party certifier conducting Pizza Fusion certifications verifies the strict standards set forth by the USDA's National Organic Program via on-site inspections to validate the use of organic ingredients and menu selections with consistency and integrity in the certification process. To date, Pizza Fusion Fort Lauderdale is one of only four restaurants in the U.S. to receive this certification. The Organic Trade Association, you know, I didn't even know there was one, but sees this move as exciting news. Organic certification is a big step for food service operation, helps meet increasing consumer interest in assessing certified organic products where they shop and where they eat, says David Gagnon, interim executive director for the Organic Trade Association. So I guess this QAI certification ensures ingredients are organic while providing verification of food preparation, area management, and comprehensive organic planning. So that's interesting. I work a little bit. I'm familiar with the franchise a little bit.
Yeah, I've heard of them, you know. And, you know, this whole organic thing, Don, I mean, it's really I don't think it's going away. I mean, I know when we had our first, you know, we had the baby. I mean, Connie was really big on the organic kick. I mean, everything in our house seems to be organic now. You know?
Right.
So, and you pay more for that too. You know, it is. But it's better for you. You know. So I mean, if you can have a better or healthier pizza, you know, why not? You know. So it might be something interesting that these guys are really onto something. I know they've gotten
yeah.
a lot of great PR. I've seen this blogs written on the topic and. All sorts of press releases, so it's
yeah.
it's a great
a lot
article.
Of pizza franchise. I've spoken to some investors. Eventually, chose Pizza Fusion because of this niche and this type of direction they're going. And they also, Marty, just named Mark Begelman as chief executive.
Oh, really?
Company. He's a former CEO at Office Depot and he'll oversee
okay.
Pizza Fusion's growth. I guess they're planning about 500 U.S. franchises in the next 5 years.
Pretty aggressive, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
That's good.
So
That's
here's
great.
Something: the Wall Street Journal, their franchising section, Marty, by Richard Gibson. Companies offer innovative incentives to lure franchisees as competition grows. This was a very interesting article. Franchisers are becoming increasingly creative in marketing themselves. Some are giving hefty discounts to franchise employees who want to become owners. One is introducing a light version of its concept designed for those seeking a part-time franchise to augment their income. Another is offering a rare money-back guarantee. As franchises proliferate and competition for new franchisees intensifies, franchisers are using such innovative tactic to ensure their own longevity and success.
Right.
The Dwyer Group, who we're familiar with, they encourage workers at its various repair and maintenance franchises to eventually buy their own franchise.
Wow, that's fantastic. It makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
And myself and on the financing, and a lot of times there'll be an existing employee at that franchise company
mm-hmm.
that wants to buy the business. And of course, lenders always like that situation. You're someone familiar with the business. They have experience.
Yeah, we've had stories like that, too, on the show, Don. I mean, with one that comes to my mind is Verlo Mattress. I don't know if you remember those guys. Right. They some of their most successful franchisees actually were employees to the store, you know,
right.
And I don't know if they were offering a discount to employees, but I think it's a great idea that the franchisor do that.
Right.
I guess it might make the training a little easier too, wouldn't it?
That's what they talk about here. It says, for example, employees of a Mr. Appliance franchise can get 10% off the initial cost of a franchise, which averages around $45,000, if they work in the business for 2 years and perform
okay.
well.
Right.
If they remain 7 years, they can get 75% off the initial fee, which is
makes
major.
Sense. Right, right, absolutely. That's great.
The intention is to help its franchisees attract industrious employees and keep them longer, says Mike Bidwell, president of Waco, Texas-based Dwyer. And if a person does move on to buy a franchise, he adds, we get a better quality franchisee who has a higher probability of success.
Wow.
Mark Liston, director of sales recruiting for Valpak Direct Marketing Systems, there's someone we're going to be having on sometime in the fall, right?
That's right, yeah. Valpak, we have a lot of great shows coming up, and something that I forgot to mention, Don, you know, is,
yeah.
I mean, we have franchises like Valpak coming up, the Entrepreneur Source. I think we have the president of the eSource that's going to be on the
Powell,
show.
Right?
Yeah, Terry Powell. Who else? Cousin Subs. I mean, they're
right.
not even all listed on the website yet.
So Moran Industries, I sold it. Yeah, we have a lot of
yeah, I mean, just like great stuff. I mean, booked till the end of the year, you know, we're actually booking into you know, January, you
right.
know, 2009, which sounds weird saying 2009 already, but,
right.
You know, it's, yeah, it's incredible.
And it says here, this Mark Liston of Valpak, they're a direct mail advertising franchisor. He says that as competition for a shrinking workforce intensified, executives at the Largo, Florida company asked themselves, what do we need to do to bring in fresh talent and create franchisees for the future? The answer, launch an earn and learn program that seeks to woo future entrepreneurs graduating from college.
Wow.
Sales representatives who finish 3 years in the top performance can qualify to receive a $50,000 initial cost of setting up a Valpak franchise.
Wow, that's interesting. Because you and I, we spoke about this topic, it was a couple weeks ago, and,
right.
you know, we spoke about the pluses, you know, and the minuses as far as, you know, recruiting young graduates from
right.
college. Is it a good thing or is it not, you know?
Yeah, we've gone back
thing.
And forth on it. There's pros and cons.
I haven't decided yet.
Yeah. They say the company will contribute $10,000 either to pay off a college loan, obtain an MBA, or make a down payment on another franchise of the recipient's choosing. Valpak does business with numerous franchisees, so the thinking is that a franchisee and the company has helped out could very
mm-hmm.
well eventually become a client.
Makes sense.
Here's something about money-back guarantee, Mark. To accelerate its expansion plans and reduce the uncertainty of would-be franchisees about buying one of its car painting shops, Mako Enterprises recently introduced an extraordinary proposition. If after the first year of a new franchisee hasn't achieved a certain sales level despite having operated a first-class business, the company will buy the franchise back.
Interesting.
Certain conditions apply,
wow.
including using sales proceeds used to pay off loans outstanding and any money due to Mako. Company president Dave Lapps, expects that in the current credit environment, Mako's guarantee will make banks weighing loans to prospective franchisees much more comfortable with the investment because it's somewhat underwritten.
Sure, absolutely. It makes sense.
One franchise, Homevestors of America, which buys, repairs, and then rents or sells single-family homes, has come up with a version of its own franchise aimed at part-timers. Instead of the usual $50,000 fee for traditional franchise, so-called associated franchisees will pay $12,000, and unlike full-time franchisees, part-timers won't have an annual quota of having to buy a certain number of properties per year. Instead, they will
wow.
have to generate at least $6,000 in annual fees for the franchisor.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. You know, now I haven't heard of that before either.
Right.
They're actually their CEO now is somebody I really admire. His name's Dr. John Hayes, and I think he's from the Philadelphia area. And he just comes up with these brilliant ideas sometimes. I'd love to have him on the show in 2009. He's just full of information.
Right, but I thought this was an interesting article. I guess over the years, you know, I've heard about some franchise companies, if you don't do a certain amount of sales or a certain amount of volume, I mean, it's almost like a guarantee. You'll get your money back. The franchisor will take over that business because they feel
sense.
So confident about their service and their business. That,
well, that's what it is. I mean, this is, you know, and this is the benefits. You know, a lot of times, you know, people have asked you, people have asked I, when we had that interview we did with the Eastern Pennsylvania Business Journal, you know, I mean, that was always a concern. You know, one of the writer for that newspaper, she asked me, she said, you know, should you be concerned about, you know, all these new franchises popping up all over the place? And I said, you know, the competition is really is a good thing. You know, I think it makes a lot of the good franchises work a lot harder for your business. I mean, again, they're confident in their service. So, you know, it's really the franchisee that's going to benefit. So I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I agree, Marty. Here's something else. Business is booming for new healthcare franchises. This is in the Daily Herald. H. Stryker wrote the article. It's a great first name. the doctor's office could be going the way of the restaurant, starts out. Local and national numbers suggest an emerging trend among healthcare providers. More optometrists, chiropractors, and other specialists are signing up with franchises, opting for the security of an established brand over the frenzied tug-of-war of an independent practice.
That's interesting.
Companies like Massage Envy, I've been working with them for several years.
And we had them on the show, too. Yeah, you can actually go back and listen to them on the archives, yeah.
We had Massage Heights on. Did we have Massage Envy?
Oh, did we? I'm sorry about that, yeah. Massage Heights.
A chain offering therapeutic massage services are burning up Entrepreneur Magazine's Franchise 500 list. The Arizona-based company started franchising in 2003, has since exploded into 439 locations, including 13 in Utah and one more on the way. The breakneck pace earned Massage Envy the number two spot on Entrepreneur's listing of new franchises this year. It's a similar story for Spinal Aid Centers of America. Here we are, you know, in the franchise business. I never heard of Spinal Aid Centers of America.
No, I've never heard of them either.
They're a Florida-based company offering non-surgical spinal decompression therapy. Having started franchising in 2003 as well, the chain now boasts 142 locations across the U.S., including 8 in Utah. I guess this Daily Herald is out of Utah.
Right.
That was good enough for 18th place among new franchises this year. Dr. Eric Lee owned Utah's first Spinal Aid franchise in American Fork. He founded a private practice there in 2003, but signed up with the national chain in 2005 after meeting with its founder, Dr. Frank Liberti, Florida. He said he was hesitant at first to give up on his independent practice to join the company, fearing it can reflect an image unrepresented of his philosophy. But as he began to see the benefits, those feelings, soon he changed his mind. I had a lot of ideas, he said, when I met with them, and they said, we've already got all this stuff. I didn't have to do it.
Right.
Lee said the biggest advantage he's seen is that Spinal Aid handles the business end of things, coordinating marketing, dealing with insurance companies, so he can give his undivided attention to healing rather than worrying about the bottom line, which
makes
is what
sense,
you know, kind of
it?
Franchising is all about. You know, all that other type of stuff, you know, you're getting that support and backing, and save a lot of time so you can concentrate on growing your business.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're not, you know, business people. You know, I mean, dentists, chiropractors, you know, I guess they probably do get maybe some type of general business course, you know, when they're going to school, you know, to market their services. But it's definitely interesting, Don. You know, I think it's something that we have to certainly keep our eye on, you know. And
It sounds like
it's something that's going to be a trend.
Yeah, well, I think it definitely will. It goes on further, Marty. I can focus fully on the patients, he said. I don't have to worry about printing and creating material, creating a brand. That's all there. He says that's huge. Now we can go online and simply click on any number of template ads created by the company. Days later, they're appearing in the newspaper and on TV, so it's real simple. Lee pitched Spinal Aid as the safe choice for consumers, too. Like McDonald's, patients know what to expect in the way of services and pricing at any Spinal Aid that they enter, whereas billing could vary wildly from one independent practice to another.
Right.
That's beginning to yield industry-wide benefits, he said, where large insurance companies are looking for franchises to help standardize how compensation is awarded to different procedures. Aaron Massey, a Pleasant Grove man suffering from a bulging disc he sustained while building a shed, he visited the store Thursday for a lumbar decompression procedure. Having been treated by independent chiropractors before, he said a friend recommended he try the franchise over conventional offices. They're one-on-one with the patients, he said, so here's a guy who's pretty happy with the services. And also optometry chains have led the field of franchised healthcare for years. Pearle Vision began franchising in 1980 and now maintains 402 independent stores and 596 company-owned ones, and it currently is 104 on Entrepreneur's 500 list.
Really? Wow, that's interesting. Now, we had you know, the problem with doing so many shows up to this point. We had a, it was Sterling Optical, wasn't
right,
it?
Right. I was thinking, too, did
show.
We have Pearl on yet?
Yeah, I just, you know, and I didn't want to screw up twice during the same show, you know, giving
it's
the incorrect
before,
name.
But
yeah, but but no, when we had Sterling on the show, I mean, it did kind of remind me of that as well, you know. But it was interesting, too, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, people don't know when you hear Pearl or you hear Sterling that, the gentleman that we had on the show, I mean, he did emphasize that you really don't need the experience either to get into those industries today as well, you know. So it's kind of interesting what's happening, you know, in franchising. I mean, these were fantastic articles.
If that does happen, there's going to be multiple franchise companies within all these specific doctor practices. So
right.
Like you said, it would be interesting to see where that, you know, what happens to that industry, you know, medical and doctors over the next 5 years.
Right. You wonder if it's more difficult, you know, as you're reading this article, you know, I'm trying to put myself in the franchisor's shoes. Is it difficult to convince doctors to go the franchise route? Is it more difficult to teach them? You know, I mean, you and I have spoken many times, you know, there's all these programs now for vets today.
Right.
And I'm under the assumption that it's easier to teach vets to follow a system, not to say that doctors can't follow a system, but just wonder, you know, they spend all those years studying and, you know, do they, you know, perhaps have more knowledge on certain things? And
what's interesting about a chiropractor and optometrist, they're just converting. It's not like they have to be trained.
It's true, right.
Certified and trained. They're just converting their office, so it's more streamlined. They're more advertised, get to be more well-known. It's so you know, the sell from the franchisor, I think, is easier, I guess. Yeah,
it makes their lives easier. You know, I mean, it's just following, you know, the Michael Gerber approach. You know, to working on your business and not in your business. You know, I mean, a chiropractor, Don, or you know, optician. I mean, they shouldn't be filing. You know what I mean? Or on the computer or things like that. You know what I mean? They should really, you know, be focusing on what they do best. And you know, and perhaps going the franchise route, that's going to help grow their business as well, you know. So
all that stuff takes so long, all that building the business,
mm-hmm.
sales, jobs, it's just very time-consuming. So
it's time-consuming, you know, and it's not for everybody either, you know what I mean? So, and the franchisor can, you know, certainly help you, you know, overcome a lot of those obstacles that maybe you're not so good at, you know. So, you know, I think it's interesting. You know, we'll have to keep our eye on this whole thing. It's great articles. You brought some good articles to the table today, so good job.
Yeah, I stepped up.
There we go. We'll take vacation every week, won't we? Every other week. Well, today, Don, we have a great show. As we were saying earlier, we're meeting with Lauren Johnson, who's the Vice President of Franchise Development for the Navis Franchise Opportunity. And for those unfamiliar with Navis, they're a commercial custom packaging and shipping franchise. They work with businesses to fulfill their ongoing shipping needs. They also specialize in difficult-to-ship items. And you may have had the situation yourself, Don, where you know you've gone to the post office or UPS, and you know they kind of said no to you, you know. And also items that are too small for a moving truck. Navis also ships internationally, and they're experts at packaging and shipping large, fragile, and valuable items. So it's a great service. Hey, Lauren, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good, Lauren. Lauren, I think you know Don Johnson.
No relation.
No relation. That's what we were saying earlier. I asked Don if you were a cousin or a
sister.
She
beat me to the joke.
Exactly.
Hey, Lauren, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. How's things out your way this week? You having some nice weather?
Oh, it's been beautiful. Yeah, about 80s and, and just perfect end of summer, beginning of fall weather.
Yeah, it's a beautiful time of year to be in. You're in Denver, Lauren?
Yeah, just outside of Denver in Greenwood Village.
That's fantastic. It's a beautiful place.
Lauren, it's been a pretty big time for you know, booming franchises and businesses. Is that right, Lauren?
Yes. Yeah, we've got, I think there's over 100 franchisors based here in Denver.
Wow. Yeah, it is amazing, Lauren. I mean, since we've been doing the show now, Don and I have been doing the show 2 years. I would say, God, Don, it must be about 10 of them, right? Or, you know, up to 15 have been from, like, the Denver area. It's crazy. You know, it's just like it's become like the franchise capital of the United States, you know.
It's a great place to be based.
Yeah, I imagine. We're going to have to probably move there too, Don. There must be something behind the whole Denver thing, you know.
Well, we'll have Lauren maybe as our third person on the show here.
Okay, that'll work. Lauren, what were you doing before joining Navis? I know you have an interesting background.
Yeah, prior to Navis, I was with another franchise concept, amazingly enough, here in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And served as Vice President of Franchise Development for that company.
Right.
I was there right around 3 years, and prior to that, I was actually in the finance world, working with structured settlement annuities and lottery winnings and life insurance policies. So
that's
a varied background.
That's interesting. People need their money up front, can't wait. Some type of annuity structured settlement, and they'll take a payout now at a discount. You did that for a few years, Lauren?
Yes. Yep.
That's interesting. What did you like about Navis, Lauren? What drew you to them at the time?
You know, it was interesting because I wasn't looking. I was recruited by their CEO, and what drew me to them was just the level of support and truly how franchisee-centric they are.
Right.
Listening in on the FAC calls that the CEO facilitates and really taking the feedback, and everybody at the home office is just so passionate about the business model and the business, and several members on the executive team and on the support team have all owned their own Navis business. So it just spoke volumes about the business model and the dedication. That's really what drew me and what made my final decision.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Those are always the best franchises.
Right.
We've had a lot of people so passionate about the company. It's usually not just the franchisees who obviously make up the franchise, but the people at top, the owners, the support system, management, that's what makes everything go.
It's very important. And I read a lot about your CEO, too, Lauren, is Ben Blakely. You know, I know he's had a lot of articles written about him, a young, very aggressive guy, and really knows his stuff from what I understand, too,
mm-hmm.
So that's fantastic.
Yeah,
what's the history of the company a little bit, Lauren, with, so much competition, the post office and, the big companies like, we know who they are. What, how did Navis, come about?
It's interesting because our history is interesting. We actually originated in the 1980s as a retail mail and parcel center under the name Handle of Care Packaging Store.
Right.
Our emphasis had always been on the signature packing services. But in the late 1990s, the management team, along with some key franchisees, Ben Blakely at the time being one of those franchisees, really began to focus their efforts on the most profitable segment of their business. They said, it is getting saturated. There's a lot of mail and parcel centers. I don't want to wait for people to walk into my store anymore. I want to be able to go out and get the business that's going to make my business grow.
Right.
So they really shifted their focus and began to go after businesses that had items that were fragile, large, awkward, or valuable, and really provided complete packing and shipping solutions for those businesses and consumers. So we tested that concept for a while. They actually closed the retail locations, moved into warehouse locations, and it was just amazing how the business grew and just how well the model worked. So we actually began franchising the Navis pack and ship model in 2002, and last year, September of 2007, our transition from retail to commercial really became final in that we sold off the entire retail portion of our company so we could focus all of our efforts on growing and expanding the Navis commercial model.
Right.
So that was very interesting, just how committed they were to the model and seeing how well it was growing to just sell off the entire retail portion was a very big step, and it's worked very well in our favor so far.
That's fantastic.
And Don,
I found
a niche.
Right, we were talking about that earlier,
niche.
Don.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, it's a powerful word. Yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Lauren, when you're describing Navis to a franchisee, how do you describe the Navis system to them?
Well, you guys made a couple good points in your introduction, and really, as we talk to people, we let them know that Navis Pack and Ship is really the premier specialized packaging and shipping company in North America. And we found that way to fill the gap between those retail mail and parcel centers and the transportation and moving companies, again, with very little competition. So we provide the pickup, packaging, and delivery of all types of items, and again, specialize in the most profitable part. FLAV is what we call it, or fragile, large, awkward, and valuable. Those are the items that are maybe too large to take to UPS or FedEx or too small to meet weight requirements of moving company. And those companies are also not equipped to do the custom packaging, boxing, crating, or palletizing the items. So, when you talk about packing and shipping, immediately people think, oh, competition. You got UPS, you have FedEx.
Right.
That's really not our competition. They're actually good sources of referrals for our franchisees.
Wow.
Interesting.
That makes sense, yeah. And what role has technology played with Navis, Lauren? I imagine it's incredible the technology that's available today, especially in the shipping industry.
Yeah, it's played a very big and very critical role. We've invested quite a bit of financial and human capital to develop our own proprietary software, and it's awesome. This software helps the operators in building customer estimates, managing the transactions, tracking the shipments, accounting, customer relationship management. But really the coolest part I like about it, yeah, the way it builds the estimate is it tells you how to pack the item, what
wow.
materials to use, how much the materials cost. It gives you the detailed shipping and insurance rates, and
incredible.
Then gives you some suggested markups. So it takes all the guesswork out of,
right.
Am I going to actually make money on this job? Or
exactly. Oh, absolutely. You know, these were things that you couldn't do, I guess, you know, 15, 20 years ago, if you look at the whole history of this industry, Lauren. It really is, it's mind-boggling what you can do today, you know,
oh,
with the technology.
Yeah, it's awesome. I came in sort of at the tail end where you guys were talking about, you know, you need to be focused on building your business, not
mm-hmm.
worrying about whether your estimates are right. So we've got a lot of tools to take that guesswork out and really allow our franchisees to focus on growing the business. And then in addition, you know, internet has been an amazing asset to our company, you know, driving leads and improving the quality
right.
of leads to the franchise locations. We also have our own internet system that's improved the way our network as a whole shares information. We've got locations across the U.S. and Canada that can tap into their network resources, webinars, monthly conference calls,
right.
the help desk, and the ongoing training support pieces with just a few clicks of a mouse. So
that's amazing.
Technology has been
so
huge.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And how do people find your franchisees, Lauren? Do they do like a typical, like, is it like a Google search or something like that? A lot of times do, you know, your customers sometimes go on the internet and just type in like, certain keywords and you guys come up, or is that typically how it works?
How they find our franchisees?
Yeah, how they find your franchisees,
yeah.
I guess. Yeah, which makes
yeah.
a lot of sense. That's interesting.
We do a lot through, you know, SEO and pay-per-click.
Right, right.
But we also have a great training program that teaches the franchisee and their employees how to talk to businesses, how to go out and go after the businesses that need NAVIS services.
Right,
so
right.
So we get customers from a variety of avenues.
That's interesting.
What was an important part of, you know, of training, because a lot of new franchisees, I mean, you know, you probably know the percentage, but I mean, imagine a good portion have never been business owners before.
Correct.
So they have to
yeah.
learn not only just the NAVIS system, but just, you know, business skills in general. I guess that's all part.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to ask you about training a little later on, but you know, maybe you can talk about it now, about, you know, that aspect.
Well, yeah, the training is awesome. It's very comprehensive. They have some 3 weeks of online coursework before they even get started. They have a 1 week in an actual location fulfilling jobs, completing shipments, actually hands-on. They have 2 weeks in Denver really doing the business, other business aspects of it, Don, as you mentioned,
yeah.
you know, the accounting, the business management, learning the software. But again, you know, we talked about the most important aspect is the operations part is easy. We train you on that. We have the experience. That's our system. You know, people have never owned a business or have never had to drive customers to their business. We provide a lot of training and support in that area as well. We have an ongoing training program, what we call the Revenue Enhancement Program. It's an 8-month program to start where we train the franchisee and their sales personnel, again, how to go out and target these vertical markets, these customers that we know use NAVIS services, how to talk to them, how to position the services. They're on the call twice weekly with a coach from the home office, just asking
yeah.
them how it went, what were the challenges,
right.
what worked well, and,
so
and
much
sharing
support.
Best practices.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I imagine the you know, the sales part of it, I guess it's a little easier because it's such a niche type of business, and you said less competition. You don't really have to be a top salesman like myself. Well, no. But you know what I mean? It's such a niche business, you know, a little less
yeah.
selling because if you know, if someone needs to move something fragile or big,
right.
not much selling involved there. They have to do it, and hopefully they'll use NAVIS and they'll see the benefits.
You're right. It's really more consultative than it is selling. It's just letting them know what you can provide. And, you know, they usually have the need, but they weren't sure how to get that need filled. And that's what NAVIS steps in and provides for them.
Yeah, and it's such an important service too, Lorna. You know, I mean, when you're shipping something, I mean, a lot of times it's you know, it's sometimes it's your life in that package. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
probably going a little, you know, too far, but you know, I mean, precious paintings and just gifts sometimes, or you know, things that were, you know, just
right.
very important to you that have a lot of sentimental value. You know, so I mean, it really is such an important service. You know, so you do want to be secure
And to give the customers peace of mind, I guess, as a business.
Yeah.
Imagine your franchisees get a lot of compliments once they're once they know their package has been sent, everything's fine. I guess that's what keeps people coming back. There's a nice repeat business element to Navis.
Absolutely. A lot of referrals, a lot of repeat business, and yeah, they do get a lot of compliments. You know, I think sometimes people are skeptical, especially when you're talking about something that actually needs to work at the other end, like a computer electronic equipment, and you know, when they open it and it works, you know, it's just such a relief that they don't have any downtime in their business.
That's fantastic.
And, you know, training is ongoing, I guess. The support afterwards, I guess once that franchisee is ready to go, they're just full confidence and with the support from, you know, from your office, I guess they're all set to go, I guess.
Yeah, support's ongoing. You know, they have their own franchise support managers who talk with them on a regular basis. We've got the live help desk. And then we have Navis Academy, which is continuous and ongoing training. Whether the franchisee's been in the system 5 years or 1 year, they all have access to continuous training for them and their employees. So a nice added benefit.
Are there any numbers on the industry, Lauren? Do you have that? I mean, as far as like how big the industry is, and it seems like this industry is growing if you're looking at it on a chart.
Yeah, I mean, the market demand is significant. The segment we serve an underserved segment of the multi-billion-dollar transportation industry, and that continues to grow every year with globalization and just how small the world has gotten and how people do business today.
Right.
It continues to grow year after year after year.
That's great.
Just talking about training and you know, people, you know, train them for selling and so forth. What are some of the other characteristics you look for in a franchisee?
I mean, really, we've spent a lot of time researching this over the last year or so. Really, they need to have two key skill sets. One is the ability to build that business. So that's, they need to feel comfortable, you know, networking, developing high-level relationships, you know, feeling comfortable talking to people
skills,
about their business.
Right.
Yep.
People skills, all right.
And then the second is they really need to be able to manage the process. And when we say that, you know, manage their people in the operation, not build the boxes, not drive the truck, that's not what the franchisee does.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really looking for someone who's more comfortable in the executive role of running a business and really seeing the big picture.
So you want someone more maybe with who's just showing a lot of passion and potential where your system, you know, you can get that person doing well, or you really want kind of a background in business and maybe prior business ownership?
Prior business owners do very well in our business, but it's not a prerequisite.
Right.
We've had very successful people come out of corporate careers where they had been successful managing large teams of people or managing projects. And again, the people side of it is very important. If you are not comfortable talking to people or talking about your business, Navis would be a very difficult business for you to be in.
Yeah, and it makes sense. I was going to say that, you know, it makes sense, Lauren, it, you know, having, you know, people coming from corporate America, because I guess the hours too, right? I mean, it's just nice hours, you know, if you're leaving corporate America, you're kind of used to that, let's say like 9 to 5, you know, kind of hours, I guess, right? I mean, it's not too much working at night or weekends or anything like that, so.
No.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mark. That's a pretty good selling tool. Well, I guess that all goes back to when you're thinking of what type of business you want to get into.
Right.
You know, you want to think about what type of hours you want to work. I tend to think with Navis, those are, you know, premier type of hours for someone to work, Lauren.
No, they are, and that is a great point. You know, typically 8 to 5, Monday through Friday.
Right.
No nights, weekends, or holidays. And for some people leaving the corporate world, that's like a vacation.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's so true. I know. That makes a lot of sense.
Do you encourage people to join local associations or groups to, you know, further get the word out on their business?
Yeah. Well, their chamber networking groups are great ways for them to build their business. Not only build the business, but a lot of our franchisees have secured employees through the networking meetings.
Right,
you know,
right.
Found great people to put in their business.
That's interesting.
Good point. What's one of the most interesting things that's happened to you since joining Navis, Lauren? You know, did you ever drop anything that was valuable or anything?
That was pretty interesting. They do a test at training where they, you know, they'll crate up a piece of china and you do drop it off a dock.
Wow, that's interesting.
that's
something.
So
something.
I think that the interesting thing for me is when I do go to the warehouse is just seeing the incredible items. Sometimes it is hard to grasp because it's, you know, not a store you're walking by every day, but just seeing the art and the equipment and people's personal effects, and everything has a story, and everything is, is unique, and that's what our franchisees enjoy too, is that it's a non-routine problem-solving environment. So it's different every day. They never get bored in their business.
And that's that's real important. I know, like speaking for myself, that's important. Where for someone to be constantly having to, kind of think more or less, because business is tough in general if you're doing the same thing. Because to be successful, you got to have that passion and you have to really enjoy it. And I guess a lot of people investing in Navis like that element of it, like you said, that each day is different. I think that's pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. So is there a typical day, Lauren, then, would you say? I mean, like, how does it – what is a typical day like, would you say, for a franchisee from, I guess the time they go in the morning till, I guess they go home, let's say 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening?
They're going to go in, meet with their salesperson and their warehouse associate.
Right.
So they're going to make sure that their salesperson is on track for what they're doing for the day, and then they send them on their way. The salesperson is out and about, calling on the businesses, developing those relationships. They'll meet with their warehouse associate, make sure, they check the jobs on the board, that whole process is running smoothly. And then, their phone is ringing. Internet campaigns, referrals from other customers, referrals from other franchisees in the network, referrals from the home office. So they are answering the phone, putting together the proposals, again, developing high-level relationships. That outside salesperson may meet the owner of an art gallery. You might be taking them to lunch or buying them coffee, or you may have a chamber meeting. At the end of the day, salesperson comes back, check in and make sure their day went well, if they're set for the next day, know what they're going to focus on. You're wrapping up with your warehouse associate, making sure the items that needed to go out went out, that the packaging looks good, wrapping up any paperwork, and then going home, spending time with the family or doing something that you like to do.
That's great. That's so important.
We know, Lauren, an important part of the process, sometimes one of the toughest parts of the whole opening a business and franchise is the location and the lease and all that. Maybe talk about that. You still have to have a pretty high-profile type of site to make it work, or because of the niche, that the type of items that are moved, it's not as important?
No, it's a great question, and I love to answer it, because no, you do not need high profile or high rent retail space to be successful in a Navis, and that was one of the keys of moving it into a warehouse.
Right.
Because of the nature of how we're going after the customers and who's using our business services, we're operating out of light industrial warehouse space. Keeps your overhead nice and low. And, again, you don't have to be worried that the location I picked today may not be good tomorrow because they changed the turn lanes or the anchor store left or, a variety of reasons that happen.
Absolutely.
It's pretty interesting. So other competitors, and, we know some of the other franchises in this segment, or but sometimes they'll call on Navis if something that they're not interested or just can't handle. Does that happen?
Well, again, they're not really competitors. I mean, you may walk into a UPS store with a small painting, so size-wise it fits, but the value is too high, or they don't have the ability to crate it. If it doesn't fit into a box they can pull off their shelves and tape together, they typically can't pack it.
Exactly. That's interesting. That's
something. And I had another quick question, Lauren. How does Navis enjoy working with Don Johnson from Diamond Financial?
We love Diamond Financial. That's no joke. We love working with Diamond. They're awesome.
That's good.
Yeah, we ask every interviewer that.
That's true. What are your plans for the future, Lauren? I mean, how big would Navis like to get? I mean, I know you guys are growing quickly.
Our plans right now, we've mapped all the major metropolitan areas, so we're looking to have a total of 260 territories in the U.S. and another 30 in Canada in the next 4 to 6 years. And then as we start to sell out this market, we will look to expand franchise operations internationally as well.
Wow, that's great. So you might get to travel in the future, I guess.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's interesting. How does someone get more information on becoming a franchisee with Navis, Lauren?
Two ways. You can call us. Toll-free number is 866-738-6820.
Okay.
Or you can go to our website, which is www.discovernavis.com.
Okay, and we'll get that actually up on our show page.
It's a real nice website.
Well,
I'm on it.
Yeah,
looking
it
at
is.
It now. It's real nice.
It's very informative, I mean, you guys have a lot of great press releases on there and things like that. It's just very informative. So You guys did a great job with that.
Good, thank you.
I want to thank you again, Lauren, and you know, we'd love to have you guys back in the future, and Don and I are going to keep our eye on you.
Yes, no, well, definitely we've got some great changes going on and some new programs coming, so the next couple months, you know, maybe we can revisit that.
That's fantastic.
And,
great job, Lauren.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Much. Thanks, Lauren. Have
all
a great day today.
Thank you, too.
Take care.
Great concept, huh, Don?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've enjoyed working with them, and hopefully as they grow, we'll really be helping a lot of their franchisees. Their website is also GoFranchise.com.
GoNavis. I think GoNavis, right?
Right.
Yeah,
GoNavis.
Discover Navis and GoNavis. Yeah. So
they handle estates and they do a lot of interesting things. It's a real.
It's an important service, you know. I mean, again, you know, when something's delivered, you know, I mean, I know I was always very uncomfortable. You know, the one time, I mean. You've moved before, you know.
Right.
I mean, you just always. I mean, your whole life feels like it's in that package. Sometimes, you know what I mean? It's just,
right.
And you know, once it gets from point A to point B, as Lauren was saying, you know, I think it's. God, it must be so easy to get that repeat sale. You know, I think there's a lot of repeat business.
Right.
With this type of franchise, and it is, and it's just such an important service too. I mean, really, at the end of the day, you're doing something important. You know.
Yeah, I always like hearing how companies kind of form and. The CEO, the top guy, kind of found that this part of the business was pretty profitable. And not
he's a young gentleman too. Yeah, I mean he's been doing this for a while. He's been in the industry. He has plenty of experience. You know, but I've read a lot of articles on Ben. I think his name is Ben Blakely, a young guy, and just he's definitely taking them in the right direction. And you know, I think one of the key words for today is niche. You know,
right.
I mean, it's just, they certainly have a niche. I mean, you mentioned competition, but they really don't have too much competition, you know, doing
right.
what they're doing, you know. So it was a very smart move on the CEO's part, you know, to kind of go that direction and sell off that one end of the business and focus more on you know, what they're doing now. So
also a part on their website about auctions, auction house. You buy something, it's a large item.
Something I forgot to ask, too, you know, is you know, there are a lot more auctions today, it seems like. You know, I guess with the whole success of eBay and things
right.
like that, you know, it even seems like there's more live auctions today. You know, I mean, I see signs for them all the time, you know, auction. So it does, it's just interesting, it makes sense. This was something I just wanted to get to earlier, Don. It's from our friend Michael Gerber's company. It's by Aaron Duckhorn, and it's called To Franchise or Not to Franchise. I thought it was a great article. It says, we recently received a request from one of our readers to write about how to take the first steps towards becoming a franchise. I immediately thought of my friend Dino DeCoris, who is a restaurateur who has taken the Emith principle of the franchise prototype to heart in the process of franchising his own business. Since he's so passionate and articulate about his business, I asked Dino to address our reader's question, and here's what he had to say. How I started my franchise business. Well, it all began in November of 2000 when I opened Dino Chicago Express in Augusta, Georgia. I was young, I had big dreams and big hopes, and I understood that anything worth getting required consistency and also hard work. After my first year in business, I realized that to grow my business, I needed to find ways to simplify it, and that's where the E-Myth came in. And, you know, it's really amazing, Don, the impact that the E-Myth has had
right.
on so
right.
many lives. I mean, since we've been doing this show from day one, I can't tell you how many times Michael Gerber's name has come up or the E-Myth has come up, you know, and again.
We've spoken to so many fans and have had people on the show been a big fan of
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just the impact that he's had on so many people's lives, you know. It says, I read the E-Myth Revisited and instantly understood the importance of working on your business and not in your business, as we were saying earlier. Shortly after reading the book, I realized that in order to succeed, I needed to build a concept that could run itself. And the only way to do that was to build my business as if I were going to franchise it, even if I didn't. You know, and that's something that
right.
you and I have spoken about in the past. It says, over the course of a year, I got organized and I had my staff spend hours building specific, I guess it's like operating manuals for everything from training, prepping, setting up and handling customer issues to taking pictures of what the food should look like going out. I spent thousands on registers that would simplify order taking and allow a better flow and consistency, and I even put in video surveillance. I documented manufacturers and distributors and organized my ordering in such a way that I would know about price increases, decreases, and any items that were out of stock. To this day, neither of my restaurants has ever told a customer that we were out of something. I even found a company to package all my recipes. In addition, we created lists that allow for cleaning, checking, numbers, food cost, and percents, all important when it comes to managing your business. Says the implementation of these systems has allowed us not only to grow, but to get through the tough times of business. I'm honored to say that in 8 years, we have never scored less than a 100% on customer satisfaction food score. So it's just, you know, an important article. You know, I mean, when you're thinking about, you know, and again, it could even be a non-franchise. You know, I mean,
right.
If you want a franchise, I mean, these are things that you have to do, is kind of let the business run on its own. And, you know, ask yourself, would your business be able to run without you there? You know,
right.
And if it can't, then you know what? You're not ready to franchise at this moment, you know. So
I see he has 7 tips to start the franchising process. Maybe
we'll
talk
he does.
About that a little bit next week. And, you know, I got an article about, you know, frozen yogurt and how that's impacting nationally with some franchises stepping up. I have something here, 5 success tips you never learn in school from small business trends. So definitely we have a few good things to talk about, you know, first
thing
next week.
Great articles that we had today as well. And, you know, we should talk about promoting also next week. Again, Dr. Scott Shane, and I'm holding the book right now, The Illusions of Entrepreneurship. And,
right.
Again, it's one of those books where you really say, wow, at the end of reading it. You know, it talks about, again, the common myths about being an entrepreneur, you know, and
right.
a lot of the facts and things like that. So,
and what factors lead to success and possible failure. So,
oh, absolutely.
It's all important information.
And we'll have them talk about franchising as well. You know, I mean, the book does predominantly concentrate on entrepreneurship, you know, but I'd like to get Dr. Shane's feel on, you know,
right.
what his thoughts are, you know, on the franchise route as well. You know, I mean,
definitely, yeah.
You know, we have a lot of the success rates, you know, and they tell us that, you know, statistically they are a lot higher than going into just starting your own business, like a Tony's Pizzeria or something like that. So
it's always interesting getting a, you know, different people's perspective.
Yeah, especially an author, you know, so
right.
It should be interesting. So you did a great job today.
Thank you.
Don, and I guess I'll be talking to you next week.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks, Mark.
Great show, Don. Take care. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.